Some of your own supporters, including Republicans on Capitol Hill, have labeled Vice President Kamala Harris, who is the first Black and Asian American woman to serve as vice president and be on a major party ticket, as a DEI hire. Is that acceptable language to you? And will you tell those Republicans and those supporters to stop it?
How do you define DEI? Go ahead. How do you define
diversity, equity, inclusion?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Is that what your definition?
Give me a
definition
then.
Would you give me a definition of that? Give me a definition.
Sir, I'm asking you a question,
a very
direct question.
Define it for me, if you
will. I just defined it, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a Black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much, and she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was Black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn Black, and now she wants to be known as Black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she Black?
She has always identified as a Black woman. She went to a historically Black college.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she became a Black person.
Just to be clear, sir.
The way he says it is funny, though. And a Black person. It is kind of, it's kind of funny. It has a little bit of the Maduro, Elon Musk kind of vibe to it. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this first hour, you can listen coast to coast. I mean, if you're listening to me, you know how. If you're watching me, you know how. If you're listening to me and not watching me, you can watch the radio show. I'm having a great flipping hair day today. So you should enjoy it. I'll probably talk about my dog some later. So Channel 347 DirecTV, also X and Rumble, where there's a good discussion, et cetera, et cetera. All right. So, yeah, I'm in a mood today because it's been like really crazy. So this was at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention. And the media has been so eager to render a verdict on new Trump, right, that they think that this event with Black journalists yesterday is going to give them that opportunity. And I sent out a piece in the newsletter about this, like some of the headlines, like so much for new Trump and Republicans reel at Trump's embarrassing remarks about Kamala Harris and all of this stuff and on and on. I mean, I saw like a number of these questions, Kane, and you saw a lot of them too, that he was asked by this. I'm looking at her name, Rachel Scott. Is she with ABC?
No. I don't think
who's this broad with? Because I think he said at one point, oh, she's like with ABC or
no, he
something.
He mentioned ABC, I remember, in that interview, but he was pointing to George Stephanopoulos.
Oh, okay, okay. Because I was looking, I was like, wait a minute. Was she? So anyway, so in looking at this, I was looking at this piece and, you know, looking at this, you know, the way all of the pieces, by the way, because the media has been apoplectic over this. And I disagree with what they've been saying about, you know, new Trump. Oh, new, you know, this is supposed to be new Trump. I don't know what they were expecting. What did they think was going to happen with us? I don't know. But I also don't think that the reaction was unwarranted. Because let's look at it, like, you know, right out of the gate here. I mean, the questions that she immediately went out to ask, I mean, you don't just immediately go out and show your ass when you're interviewing someone in that forum. Okay, this was supposed to be a forum. And I guess Kamala Harris was supposed to show up and she didn't, or she was going to show up via Zoom or something to that extent. So it's the National Association of Black Journalists, their convention. And like I said, this Rachel Scott girl, her demeanor right out of the gate was very different from the way in which she engaged with other like-minded officials. Like the way that she engaged with other politicians that were more in line with how she thought, it just thought it was her demeanor was different, because she like didn't start with any greetings. You know, usually when you go out there and you're in one of these settings, you know, the golden rule as the interviewer is to make that person feel comfortable, the guest feel comfortable and receptive to answering questions, because that's the goal, isn't it? The goal is not to get out there and yank your own chain and get higher in your own supply and, you know, glorify yourself. You're supposed to go out there and glean information from a candidate or from your guest that people are assembling, you know, they're there to have a greater understanding. So she immediately disregards like any greetings and salutations. And they were running 35 minutes late because they had audio issues. And mind that, like they had audio issues. You have an entire thing of what, like tech people and videographers and journalists and all this stuff. And it took them 35 minutes to get their, you know what, straightened out. And so they were running late and he made mention of that. But she immediately comes right out of the gate. And it's just, I mean, she's an ass. There's no other nice way to say it. And I don't feel prevailed upon to say it in a nice way because I don't have the energy to be courteous to trash. I am tired, especially not today. And I'm tired of it. I'm so tired of it. So she's asking him questions like, basically, why are you a giant racist? And he just has enough. Audio sound by 5.
I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said you can't do it with Zoom. Well, you know, where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom and she's not coming. And then you were half an hour late. Just so we understand, I have too much respect for you to be late. They couldn't get their equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
I would love I think you it's can a answer very the question nasty on your question. Wow.
I have answered
black
the question.
Trust you with another
I have
years.
Been the best president for the black population since Abraham Lincoln.
Better
That's
than,
my answer.
Better than President Johnson who signed
answer.
The Voting Rights
and
Act.
For you to start off a question and answer period, especially when you're 35 minutes late because you couldn't get your equipment to work, in such a hostile manner, I think it's a disgrace.
Let me just ask a follow-up, sir, and then we'll move on to other questions.
So I think that was completely legit. I think that he had every reason to be angry over that and to point that out. I can be of two sides about this, but the longer the day goes on, I'm really leaning to one side only in viewing this, as you can imagine. Where's the one where she, it's the DEI one. It was the DEI question. And I had it on Substack, so there's no reason why we shouldn't have that audio. But that was the question, the only question that I thought where he could have, I think, used it as a springboard to just utterly destroy her completely and totally. Is it audio sound by 4? Because is this the DEI one?
Yeah, I think that's the one. Where he's
literally verbatim asked about DEI. Okay, can you play it, Kane, please?
Some of your own supporters, including Republicans on Capitol Hill, have labeled Vice President Kamala Harris, who is the first Black and Asian American woman to serve as vice president and be on a major party ticket, as a DEI hire. Is that acceptable language to you? And will you tell those Republicans and those supporters to stop it?
How do you define DEI? Go ahead. How do you define
diversity, equity, inclusion?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Is that what your definition?
Give
me a definition
the words,
then. Would you give me a definition
DEI.
Of that? Give
She's
me a definition.
Sir, I'm asking you a question.
No, you
a very
have to
direct
define
question.
It. Define it for me, if you
I
would.
Just defined it, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So, I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much, and she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage.
Right,
I didn't
so
know she was black.
We heard that one. So she asks him specifically about the DEI, because that's been one of the questions that we've heard over and over again. Oh, Mr. President, blah, 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 DEI. Because there's been a lot of criticism, I guess, over Republicans and that question, right? So she asks him about the DEI aspect of it, right? And so my only criticism of this has been, I think his response should have been, oh, you mean like how Biden defined it, right? I mean, because, you know, ultimately, let's be honest, that's how Biden defined it. I mean, he could have immediately gone into it and said, you know, mean DEI is in diversity, equity, and inclusion, the way that Biden described it, right? And described her on camera, and also in the transcript of the speech that he gave on camera that was posted to the White House website. Do you mean that? Because, I mean, and then he could have followed up with, what does that have to do with Republicans? What is, by the way, let's do flashback on that. This is literally Biden saying it. Listen.
They're trying to erase black history. We're going to write black history because it's American history. It's American history. Together we make history, not erase it. To me, the values of diversity, equality, inclusion are literally, and that's not kidding, the core strengths of America. That's why I'm proud to have the most diverse administration in history. It taps into the full talents of our country. And starts at the top with the vice president. On Memorial Day, I proudly stood with a black man, the highest order, the first black secretary of defense, second black chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
See, so he's saying it.
Black.
And by the way, I have the screenshot of it. It says to me, the values of diversity, equity, and inclusion are literally, and this is not kidding, the core strengths of America. That's why I'm proud to have the most diverse administration in history that taps into the full talents of our country. And it starts at the top with the vice president. And then he describes Kamala Harris. So he's talking about a DEI hire and he names it as the vice president. So what the hell does that have to do with Republicans? So he's asked that. I just wish that he would have said it. His aides should have had him queued right up to do it. I think he needs better aides. People can get mad at me and do this like petty circle jerk jockeying thing for power and influence in the back channel, but I'm going to be here longer than you will. So that's what his aides, they should have tipped him to say that because he would have just destroyed her. What is she going to do after that? What do you do after that? Biden said it. Biden defined it. And what does this have to do with Republicans? We're quoting him. And blah, blah, blah. I wish that he would have done it. Yeah, I thought they were for DEI. Suddenly they're not for DEI. Suddenly it's bad. Oh my gosh, because it showcases progressive racism. I mean, just racism in general. I don't have to add progressive in front of it. You guys get it. When he is focused and disciplined in message, he's absolutely unstoppable. Because I think he could have pivoted from her race-based attacks there to merit and then sideline her entire line of attack and make it about Kamala Harris's total lack of merit. He could have destroyed that and then pivoted. And then he could have owned the entire stage for the rest of the time. But he was, I think he did a great job with the other questions, but that's the one I was like, wait. He could have ended this right here. You could have had a viral moment to end all viral moments completely. But Scott's here, and here's where Scott messed up. Her clumsy line of questioning and her prefacing of every single question with some loaded presupposition. This is a classroom example of when you're an activist pretending to be a journalist. That's exactly what that is. And she, like I said, she wasn't there to get more information for her audience. Not at all. She wasn't there to do any of that. I mean, she was just there to be a partisan hack. And I tell you, I've said this over and over again. I tweeted about it earlier today. Nobody has done more to hurt the credibility of the free press, as the founders saw it, than the BS artist trans journos who, because they're dumber than the general public, think that we can't see their activism through their cosplay. And that's this thing. He showed up. He had the grace to show up. So if you were questioning, is this the new Trump? Well, that's he had the grace to show up and go through it. So we got a lot more because we also have the deflection of the prisoner swap to distract from the 9/11 terrorists getting a plea deal. There's a reason why all of that happened at the same time, by the way, and we remarked on that earlier as well. We have a lot to hit still. We got, you know, a whole 2.5 hours together, so a lot to go through.
Hi, I'm George, an economics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
The Declaration of Independence is more than a bold letter to a British king written by upstart colonists, although it very much is that. The Declaration explains the promise of America, that all men and women are born equal in their possession of natural rights, and that the proper exercise of these rights can lead to a full and deeply satisfying life. Just as the Declaration explains America's promise, the Constitution upholds that promise. Its purpose is to protect the rights of all of us, our natural rights. This establishes the possibility, not the guarantee, that we can have a good life. This is true freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, we are in a ministry mood today, right? The state Supreme Court has upheld capital punishment in South Carolina, including use of a firing squad. God bless South Carolina. So they said they're upholding the Palmetto State's death penalty law, allowing the use of things like electric chair, lethal injection, and, you know, the firing squad. I'm just saying, you know, so if you're like a violent, heinous, you know, humanoid, and you've committed violent atrocities against people, you could get murked. Like, for instance, they said that the last person executed by firing squad appears to have been Ronnie Lee Gardner. He had brutally murdered Melvin Otterstrom during a robbery attempt at Salt Lake City. He also brutally murdered an attorney while attempting to escape from the courthouse where he was on trial. He was executed by a squad of five police officers with 30 caliber rifles. And so there you go right there. So I have no problem with any of that. No problem with any of that. Let's see. UK police open a criminal investigation into Washington Post publisher. Interesting. So Scotland Yard has opened a preliminary inquiry into the allegations that a WaPo publisher and chief executive Will Lewis obstructed justice 13 years ago as he helped Rupert Murdoch grapple with an escalating phone hacking scandal at the UK tabloids. Blah, blah, blah. I don't care right now. Let's see. SAG-AFTRA. This is interesting. So Hollywood's video game performers are all going to the picket line over AI protections. And I think they should, actually. This is where I actually agree with the picketing, because there's no protections on capturing their voice and motion capture workers. They could just be copied and pasted by AI, essentially, like in perpetuity. So they're trying to negotiate that, because a lot of the stuff that they negotiated was before the advent of this technology. And it just, its use, widespread usage, just exploded in the past couple of years. We got a lot to hit. 2024 Bread and Circuses, our partners, our friends. Oh, I don't have to. Yeah, good folks over at Patriot Mobile. The only Christian conservative cell phone service that you can have. Everything else is commie and satanic. Them devil phone services out there. I'm not actually joking. That's the crazy thing about today's world. I mean, you know, if you don't want your cell phone service supporting, you know, teaching genderqueer in elementary schools, and you don't want your dollars to support gun control, then maybe you need to switch to Patriot Mobile today. I mean, they make it easy. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. And when you switch, you're sending a message. Actually, you're going to be saving money, and you're sending a message that you support your rights, because that's one of the things that they help promote. And they put a lot of momentum behind like things like school board races in our area. They work with a lot of parents, and they protect what you vote for. So you can get free activation using code Dana. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana. Don't get fooled by other providers pretending to share your values or having the same coverage. Switch to PatriotMobile.com/Dana today or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service.
Can people really not afford McDonald's? McDonald's says they're missing revenue as they have to lower their prices even more. Why? The consumers are pulling back. If things are so good, why are credit card delinquencies hitting a 12-year high?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Suggested, Harris, that let's take one. I said, Joe and I will go and take a cognitive test. Now, I'd do it with her, too. I would do it with her also. You know what? She failed her law exam. She didn't pass her law exam, so maybe she wouldn't pass the cognitive test.
Mr. President,
you're saying she wouldn't pass. Just to be clear.
I'm just giving you the facts.
So, like, one of the lefty reporters there was trying to correct him on that. I wish that he would move on from the DEI stuff. I'm going to come back to the thing that he posted on Truth Social. I wish he would move on to it, move on from it, because they're going to try to bait him into staying at that as long as possible. And his advisors around him need to be like, you got to move from this, because they're going to try to make the entire presidential contest about this. What else does she have? For real, what else does she have? Have you seen the stuff that's happening right now? There's a plea deal that they made with the 9/11 terrorists. First off, how did it take this long to even get to this point? I mean, Gitmo, it's not like there's a lot of people down in Gitmo. If you're a terrorist, and there's just a butt ton of evidence supporting the fact that these actual terrorists were the terrorists who carried out 9/11. I mean, they bragged about it. Why are they just hanging out at Gitmo? You know, why are they hanging out there? The weakness that this is conveying. So the plea deal it with terrorists, it includes Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of the attacks. I mean, there's a ton of evidence there. They said that they're still seeking, that I guess, what, leniency for the other Gitmo terrorists? It's Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Waleed Mohammed, Salim Mubarak bin Attash, and Mustafa Al... You got too many damn names. You get two. Mustafa Al-Hawasi. And lots of evidence. This has been since, again, remember, 2001. It's 2024. They should have been dragged through the streets already. There's no justice for or any kind of mercy for their victims of 9/11. I mean, there are people who suffered ailments that developed because they were picking through the rubble for survivors. And they're part of this as well. The White House said that, oh, they were only informed of the plea agreement on Wednesday, but nobody believes this. Nobody believes this. The Trump administration had ruled out any prospective plea bargains. And it seems like Republicans are the only ones that are saying that it's unthinkable or that it's a betrayal, because it is a betrayal. I mean, these people who are responsible for the deaths of thousands, and now they're getting a plea deal and the death penalty's off the table. Are you serious? Again, there's not a lot of people down at Gitmo. Why couldn't an accident have happened? Oh, they fell into the sea after they fell on a bunch of rocks over and over again. They fell into the sea. I have no idea how his head got bashed in. I have no clue. They fell into the sea. Dana, you should be against torture. No, I'm 1,000% for torture of terrorists. Oh, no, I am 1,000% like Vlad the Impaler level of torture for terrorists. Oh, yeah. I don't think we do enough. I don't think that we are barbaric enough, honestly. I think terrorists should be absolutely flayed and put on spikes on our coastlines. Oh, yeah, that's put it at the border. Terrorists, you can't come through here. This is weakness. And this is why this is why we even have terror threats, because they thrive in the indulgence of such weakness. So in addition to this, we have this prisoner swap. I was going to be on Fox and Friends this morning, like right as that story broke, and it's been like wall-to-wall coverage of it. What are we getting for it? Everyone's talking, you know, about a couple of these people coming home, but what are we getting for it? I've read anywhere from 25 to 30, you know, Russian plotters, for the lack of a better way to put it, are going to be traded. That seems uneven, you know? So I don't know. There's a lot of questions there with that. And I feel like that's a distraction for the 9/11 thing. And maybe some other stuff. Who knows? You also have this. Did you hear of the Ismail Haniyeh, the guy who was the Hamas head honcho who was blown up? So apparently, worst Airbnb ever, a bomb was smuggled into his Tehran guest house. He was staying there too. It was apparently done. He was staying there for a couple of months for a little while, and it was smuggled in there 2 months before he arrived. They thought it was an airstrike, but apparently it was remotely detonated. Very smart. Very smart. And they said that it took out 7 Middle Eastern officials. It was hidden in a guest house apparently 2 months before he visited. So worst, like I said, worst Airbnb ever. You know, I mean, can you just imagine that review? I came here and can you believe it? There was a bomb. Like, OMG.
It's the bomb?
There was a bomb. There was a bomb in my Airbnb. Oh. So it was so targeted. Listen to this. This detonation, the explosion, was so targeted that the room where the leader of the Islamic Jihad, Zayed al-Nakala, he was staying next door, sustained little damage. It was so targeted to take out the Hamas head honcho. So, yeah, he died like a Gazan terrorist. Lived like one, died like one. Well, he didn't really live like one. He didn't really live there. He lived the high life, but he died like one. So he was appointed Abbas appointed this guy as prime minister after Hamas won most of the seats in national elections. This was back in 2006. And he's been the elected head of Hamas's political bureau So they go, you can't have assassinations on our territory, says Iran, after trying to carry out assassinations on everybody else's territory. We know you fund Hezbollah. We know you fund Hamas. Just stop. We're not doing this. All right. So we'll come back to all this because I still don't know what we're getting for what we're getting as a trade. But I can tell you one thing that I have not watched one bit of is the Bread and Circuses 2024. Cue the horns, please. We have a horn section. Bread and Circuses 2024. The Beep Olympics.
And because right. And because they're being such a-holes, we have to use a copyright-free version of this.
Yeah, we can't use the actual Bread and Circus. I'm not even going to say their crappy name anymore. We can't even use the official Bread and Circus song because the Bread and Circus people are so upset. They were so shamed after they had that chonky smurf. They are so shamed.
I'm actually more impressed with this royalty-free version.
It's Bread and Circus 2024, where domestic violence is now an Olympic sport.
Brought to you by Ozempic.
And testosterone supplements. So a female boxer, did you guys hear about this story? A female boxer, she's Italian, she's an actual woman, Angela Carini, was facing off against an Algerian opponent named Imane Khalif. And within 46 seconds, she threw her helmet onto the floor and yelled, "This is unjust." The 25-year-old refused the handshake, fell to the canvas, sobbing. And Khalif had previously been banned from another major boxing contest before the Olympics. The IOC defended the decision to allow not one but two boxers who failed the gender eligibility tests at the 2023 World Championships to compete in Paris. Imane Khalif of Algeria was one, and Lin Yuting of, they say Chinese Taipei, because it's the only way that they can get Taiwanese, I guess, to participate, were disqualified from the World Championships. And the International Boxing Association president said at the time that the DNA test proved that they had XY chromosomes and thus were excluded. Now, the description of Khalif's hitting, and Khalif looks like a dude, the description of Khalif's hitting, I mean, the Italian boxer, Angela Carini, is no chump. Like, she can hold her own. She's a badass. She said the force of the hit was unlike anything she's ever felt in her boxing career. And you could see it well off. You could see it immediately. And some of the people who were defending Khalif were saying, oh, this is just Carini being a sore loser because, you know, she's outmatched. No, it's a dude, XY chromosomes. Now, some people are trying to argue that, well, Khalif has, you know, female reproductive organs, but has XY chromosomes. I don't believe you. Have you, like, been there and seen it? Because I totally don't believe a single one of these people. I'm from the show me state in Missouri. That's the show me state. Live in Texas now, but from the show me state. I'm just saying, I don't believe it. Do you believe it? Can I don't believe it? I don't believe any one of these rat bastards. I don't believe any of you people. No.
Yeah. They get away too much with just saying things that aren't true. So yeah. Let's call them out. It's such
woman has trained her entire life to get a gold medal in the Olympics.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think stuff like that, you need a little. And plus, like I said, Khalif Kane, as we were talking about on break, I mean, this dude failed previous gender tests.
Yeah, that Y chromosome is pesky.
How do you fail a gender qualification? Like, here's my dong or here it's not. You know, I mean, how do you fail that?
That's how the tests were back in the day when we didn't have all this technology.
Have you seen? I've not seen that confirmed. They're saying, no, Khalif is intersex, that she's not trans. And we can't play the video for you, as Juan reminds us, because the Bread and Circuses 2024, the people who glorify a man beating on a woman for Olympic sport, will get upset and they'll ding us for copyright violation on YouTube because they're a bunch of female copulatory organs, even though they allow people who don't have them to participate in women's sports. So
they'll probably ding us for what we've shown on the screen already. We haven't played any audio.
They can
or
sit
anything.
And spin.
Yeah.
No, I don't feel like I'm in a good mood today. No, thank you. So Kane,
yeah.
What have you heard about this dude being intersexed? I haven't seen anything that literally anything that.
Well, the thing
verifies
is,
it.
I'm about trust, but verify.
Right.
That's all it is.
Right.
Trust, but verify. That's all we need to do.
Yeah.
So if I'm the Olympic committee and I'm going as far as to take blood samples and all this other stuff, let's just do the easy thing. and just check it out.
Yeah.
Show us.
I just don't believe someone go, no, it's, I really have a vagina. I just don't believe you.
I promise. Just don't look. But
just
I
don't
promise.
Look, but
swear.
I have one. I don't believe you. I don't believe you at all, especially when the other person is so totally a dude.
I could. It's totally fair for me to fight that woman.
Yeah.
It's
how totally dare fair. You question?
I can totally fight her because I'm a her.
Yeah. I mean, come on. So they said that and she's, for people who say that she's a sore loser, she would beat you to a pulp. She absolutely would. Angela Carini would beat you to death. So you can't sit here and say that she's some kind of chump or she's not an athlete. Yeah. This woman has gotten this far, you absolute pig. She's gotten that far. There's like so many of these like idiots on social media, like running her down because there's nothing that leftists love more than seeing a woman get knocked around, especially leftist men and trans Tifa. But they're like losing it. I mean, this looks like a dude because it's a dude. And again, I don't trust any of these people anymore, do you? And I don't think any jury would convict us. What, Kane? You had a look on your face.
She sounds hideous.
Well, she's a guy, so.
That's why. He gets these looks where he's like, he's very, I can tell he has a thought and he's very satisfied with himself.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
I mean, that's like the same thing, you know? So, I don't know. These are one of the reasons I just haven't been interested in watching Bread and Circus, the 2024 Bread and Circus. I haven't. I felt so bad for this. I felt so bad for Carini. I felt so bad for her. Steve, you're like a sports dude. Are we being mean? Be honest, because I don't trust any of these people anymore. And you have an XY chromosome. You got tons of like dude chemicals in your body. You got tons of testosterone. Your muscle mass is different. Your bone density is different. I just, you know, I kind of need to see some stuff. You know what I mean?
I mean, isn't the whole thing about the Olympics to be fair? I mean, they're not very fair or equal in any of this.
Yes, you are correct, sir. You are correct, sir.
It's why the 200-pound weight class doesn't fight the 135-pound weight class. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, well, I'm 235 pounds. I identify as a welterweight. No, that's not how it works. Oh, it is. No, that's not how it works, man. Featherweight. I'm a featherweight. No, you're not a featherweight. You're 235 pounds. Oh, I identify as featherweight. That's not how any of that works. The same thing. Same thing with
you
this.
You've got some beach ball size lady nuts on you coming in all kamikaze like that.
See? I mean, and that's what we're talking about. You can't have those beach ball size, you know what's going up into the ring and fighting a chick. I mean, I don't know. You know what? They need to replace one of the rings in their Bread and Circus's logo with just a black eye. Right. A woman's black eye, because that's, you know, what they're... I can't stand these people. I can't. We have more on the way, including the latest on capitulation with the mastermind of 9/11. Oh, and did you hear about the Jordanian illegal immigrants who tried to breach Quantico? They're free to walk. Somebody paid their bail. They're free to walk. No joke. I will get all of that for you here as we move our partners, because everything's probably going to go to HE Double Hockey Sticks anyway. That's why November is important, is Gold Co. Look, you work your entire life and you save. You do the responsible thing and you save. So why is it that government's irresponsibility can put everything that you've worked for into jeopardy? So this is why you need to diversify and protect your savings with Gold Co. It is a top-rated company with thousands of five-star reviews and a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. And they've helped people like you and me place over $3.5 billion in gold and silver. They have a special one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers that explains to you the entire economy of it, how gold IRAs work, the whole nine yards. And anything, any question you want to ask them, you can find out. You can ask them. They'll walk you through it. No pressure. They're all about transparency. And this is a very important part of your overall retirement and saving strategy. So diversify today. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Learn how you can get started. And you'll get a complimentary wealth protection kit. So that's going to arm you with the facts about precious metals. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
President Trump has said repeatedly that he could have gotten the hostages out without giving anything in exchange. What do you say to that? What do you say to President Trump now? former president.
Why didn't he do it when he was president?
Sir, what did you say?
Thank you, guys.
So, Dana Bash over at CNN called this a mic drop moment.
What?
Yeah, that's reportedly what she's being quoted as saying, that, oh, mic drop. So, Biden goes, he asks, why didn't Trump do it when he was president? Someone tell Biden that he was the one who was president in March of last year when that Evan Gershkovich guy was kidnapped or taken into custody by Russians. And then the other dude wasn't even towards, like, what is it, like the last couple of months or whatever of Trump's presidency? I mean, he actually thought that that, like, he was, like, pleased with himself as he poop shuffled off away from the podium. He did the poop shuffle. See, you know, he needs to pick up his feet or he's going to make static, you know. So he shuffles away.
Why didn't he do it as president?
Shuffles away. Well, Mr. President, because he wasn't president last March when that one guy was taken into Russian custody. The hell's the matter with you? Like, you, golly. Golly. Yeah, he's trying, maybe. I don't know. I just can't. That any reporter would go, oh, that's a mic drop. Are you high? Like, come on, what is the matter with you people? Jiminy Christmas. This whole administration is, this is the dumbest period of politics I've ever endured in my life. The dumbest. And we have more to come. We got a whole other 2 hours of it. So pull up a chair, get you an icy cold drink, and let's talk smack. Stick with us. Do you guys remember back in 2020 when store shelves were empty and nobody could find ammunition? That was such a bummer. Actually, it sucked out loud. Nobody liked that. It was hard to find stuff. Like, we were calling up all these different retailers like, do you guys have any coming in? Do you guys have this coming in? Well, what if you didn't have to worry about that? So this is where Ammo Squared comes in. They can help you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. Like, you never have to worry about it. So it's truly automated. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program. I've never been more happy about anything automatic before in my life, you know, other than, you know, automatic rifles. Pick your calibers, you set your budget, you select a shipping trigger, and that's it. And then your ammo builds up over time and it's delivered automatically when you want it. And then as the ammo builds up in your account, it's stored for free in their super swanky climate controlled warehouse. It's secure, it's insured, it's safe from threats until you want it. Especially in these tough times with rising crime, this is a very budget-friendly way to ensure that you always have ammunition when you need it. It's customizable to your budget. Build your stockpile. It's like contributing to a savings account or a 401k. And it was started in Idaho in 2015. They have over 30,000 customers across the country. It's Ammo Squared, a unique way to get your ammunition. Buy low, dollar cost average over time, then cash out when prices rise, or take delivery and skip the high prices in the market. It's awesome. There's no minimum to buy, no memberships, no extra fees. You can buy ammo on a small budget. Watch it grow. Visit them at ammosquared.com/Dana to get started and get free ammo when you sign up. That's ammosquared.com/Dana to sign up and get your free ammo.
Close here in a second, but I want to just point out that when the media lies about Kamala Harris being the border czar, here is what you're lying about. You cannot have an effective border policy unless you have somebody who is coordinating all the different agencies of the U.S. federal government. You need the State Department involved to send people back to their home countries. You need the Department of Justice involved to prosecute these terrible drug crimes. And of course, you need DHS involved so that the Border Patrol is empowered to do their job. Kamala Harris, as border czar, was asked to coordinate all these functions of government, and she's done nothing.
She's done nothing. I mean, she just gets these titles, and it looks fine on paper. They give her these titles, and then what? What does she do with it? Nobody knows. It's like the same being with the gun control czar. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour. Listen coast to coast. You can find the simulcast, the video portion of the program, Channel 347 DirecTV, also over at Rumble, YouTube, but X and Rumble are really the best. So the border czar, they're still trying to push this. I don't think people have memories. I mean, we all remember how, I mean, Biden said it in a speech. They had a declaration up on whitehouse.gov. I'm actually looking at it in my online bookmarking system right now. So it's not, you know, it's not that it's not beyond the realm of reality here, because it absolutely is she was border czar. I mean, how else do you say she was border czar? I don't know why people are even arguing otherwise. It's so stupid. I saw there's a tweet I actually responded to. I think it was the Associated Press. The Associated Press said, quote, Reuters. They said at campaign rallies and in social media posts, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has intensified his attacks on Kamala Harris as a failed border czar. But experts say Harris wasn't really a border czar at all. And I had screenshot just like an AP piece, you know, Biden taps VP Harris to lead response to border challenges. I am so tired of them saying this. That was a Reuters piece that ran just this morning. They're still trying to rewrite history that she's never done anything with the border. She was never in any way, you know, conditioned for the border, assigned to the border, expected to have any kind of responsibility for that, because they don't want to have the, they don't think that she deserves the accountability of doing nothing. She just wanted the title on paper. That's kind of like what she is with gun control. Because we had played some audio for you yesterday, a flashback audio of her saying she, over and over again, she wanted to have mandatory buyback. She said it on, what was it, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. She said she wanted a mandatory gun buybacks, which is confiscation. It's absolute gun confiscation. And now her campaign is trying to say that she no longer supports mandatory confiscation. They're trying to make her look like she is a moderate. She's not a moderate. We all know this. She's actually to the left. I can't even believe I'm saying this, but it's true. She's to the left of Joe Biden on gun control. Because while both of them have called for a quote-unquote assault weapons ban and all this other stuff, Kamala Harris is the one who has repeatedly pushed mandatory buybacks. And we talked about this yesterday. Like, what do you think you're going to get from a mandatory buyback? How are you even going to do this? But even if she, which she's not going to, I mean, you don't say it as much as she has said it and then not do it. You don't threaten to take executive action if Congress doesn't do what you want on gun control and then, you know, not do it. I mean, and the media has not taken her to task for this because they know that it's all optics. They know that it's all optics. And so there was a piece that I was reading and that her people are saying that she no longer supports the mandate. She's no longer against fracking. Yes, come on. And she's no longer for mandatory buybacks. Well, what's absent from this is what led to that decision. What led to it? What led to her decision to change her mind on that? Why did she change her mind on that? That's what I always ask people when they change their positions on stuff. I'm always like, okay, why did you... What, like, who's the lawmaker that was from Hawaii, Kane, that all of a sudden did a 180 on gun control after really promoting gun control for years? And she had a book out and her people were going to get her on the show. And then all of a sudden they canceled. Now we can't get her on the show to talk about it at all whatsoever. No, can't talk about guns at all whatsoever now. I can't. It's like on the tip of my tongue. I'm more focused. Tulsi, right? Yes, Tulsi Gabbard. Sorry, Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah. And I know, like, for instance, Gabbard had this post where she said she had changed her mind. But it was kind of anemic. And it was like what you would write if you're just trying to hurry up and check the box. But I need something. I need actually to understand why you change, not just, oh, I changed. I was, you know, that glad I did. Blah, blah, blah. Let's move on. Oh, well, hold up. Because we have a history littered with people who've said, oh, well, I've changed my mind on something. And then they turn around and they fulfill everything that they've been saying for years and years. When people show you who they are, believe them. Words don't mean anything. It's actions and what you campaign on. That's what counts. And so they're really trying to rewrite history with this. She's never explained why she changed her mind on this all of a sudden. Why? It's very interesting. She never actually got into it. But like I said, she's still to the left of Biden on this. I mean, think of this for a moment. The current government that we have now, Biden, Harris, just in the past couple of years, they have gotten so hostile to firearm owners. Like, for instance, federal firearms licensees, right? A lot of people are not FFLs. If you are going to sell a firearm and like as a substantial for your livelihood or, you know, your substantial annual profit. What I mean, it's all defined by federal statute. And the paperwork that different retailers have to undergo, if there's like say two numbers that are transposed, or if there's like a period instead of a comma or something like that, like little clerical errors, they have taken the licenses of like a couple of thousand of these FFLs just in the past couple of years. They've completely removed them. They've pulled their licensing out. They go after them for little clerical errors that are not at all maliciously intended whatsoever. These people don't want to do anything to jeopardize their license and go out of business. But they have been, the ATF, they have been empowered to do so under this administration. What's more, they've been further empowered by the whole creation of the Office of Gun Violence Prevention, which is the whole gun violence, you know, program that who did Biden put in charge of? He put Kamala Harris in charge of it. Kamala Harris is the gun control czar. And so she was picked to oversee, and I'm reading the statement over at the White House where they talked about how she's going to be doing it if they, you know, want to try to take issue with that too. So she's overseeing, was supposed to see all of their gun control programs that they were going to implement through this Office of Gun Violence Prevention. And so one of the things that they were pushing through was this thing called the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, which, again, just like with everything else in Washington, D.C., whatever the piece of legislation is, that's typically what it's named after typically isn't what it is at all, or what it does, or does it doesn't indicate it. This isn't about safer communities. I mean, it's not about safer communities at all. In fact, what I was just talking about with the FFLs, you've seen an increase with these clerical errors, but also while they're simultaneously pulling the licenses from people, they also want to make it to where everyone has to get a de facto license simply by way of owning a firearm. And it's one of the things that they have pushed. If you remember, through credit card purchases, particularly Bank of America, which gave a whole bunch of firearms credit card purchases to ATF without so much as like probable cause or even a warrant, they've been already trying to compile somewhat of a national registry through the financial sector because they're barred from doing it by federal law. So they've been trying to find every which way to get around it. And so they want gun owners defined as dealers. Even if you only ever sell one firearm privately to another legal possessor in your ever-loving life, as you can do because it's your private property, they are demanding that you be forever defined as a firearms, as someone who sells firearms, and have to get an FFL. Even though that requires an act of Congress to do this, because you're talking about legal definitions, and the people that are in charge of rewriting these definitions are these fat asses at the ATF who can't even tell me why, for instance, they decided to not have. Oh, Kane's just dying. I went up and talked to them at SHOT Show one day, and it's like they looked at me like I was Godzilla coming towards the booth. And there were three of them and I was very cool. I wasn't there to be a jerk, right? I was there to ask questions. They couldn't even explain to me how all of a sudden, you know, like some of the implements that they have for firearms that were completely legal one day, and then they turn around and they try to make them completely outlawed the next day without any, you know, valid reason at all whatsoever, whether it's a like pistol brace or something else. They could not actually even explain to me in a coherent fashion why that was. And one guy was so partisan. He actually, every time he mentioned Trump, he did that juvenile thing where, you know, how people like touch their chin or scratch their face, and he put his middle finger up and he was like, you know, like doing it on purpose. And I looked at him, I go, really, dude? I said something to the effect of, you have a mullet and you're doing that. Come on. I'm like, don't make me be a bee, dude. Don't make me be a bee. I'm not here to be a bee. So don't flip that switch. So it was so weird. So those are the people who get to define this, right? I mean, you had David Chipman, that one, you know, dude, that nerdy looking dude who they were going to have as head of the ATF before they had that Duddlesbach guy who is also equally clueless. He couldn't even define half the stuff that you brought to him. These are the people that make the rules on this stuff. And so this is all the stuff that Kamala Harris, as gun control czar, is overseeing. They wanted to eliminate all, I mean, they want to eliminate your ability to own firearms through, by the way, this Office of Gun Violence Prevention. They were revoking any kind of federal assistance for any kind of firearms education programs in schools. And even though federal schools, and my friend John Lott has done a lot of research into this, federal funding for a lot of these public schools, that's a pretty significant chunk. And so you're talking about eliminating like hunter safety, don't you? Which I don't understand why people want children to remain ignorant about something and then have it be a mystery. You cause accidents. You're the type of people that we lawful, responsible people think are idiots and are the ones that get everybody killed. Because you have no idea how to handle with everything because you're so terrified of knowledge. You got to stay backwards and narrow-minded. You can't handle it. So that's the stuff that they're looking at cutting. This is all coming. This is all under Kamala Harris, the gun control czar. So don't think for one second that she would somehow moderate her position going into this. She's to the left even of Joe Biden, which is crazy to say. But she is. That's true. I mean, I could sit here and go on and on about this all day long, but that's the truth of it. So, yeah, they can say she's not the gun control czar. She is. They can argue that she's moderating her position. She's not. But that's the record that they need to go after. I think the DEI stuff, that's not going to, it riles up the base and it makes everybody laugh. But at some point, remember what I've told you. Elections are determined by the margins. We're going to talk more about that here coming up as we roll. Black Rifle Coffee. Look, if you're drinking other coffee, then you're drinking communist swill that probably sucks and it's making you miserable, making your day awful. You need to switch and be filled with joy and energy like I sound right now. Switch over to Black Rifle Coffee. It's the best coffee that's out there. And there are a lot of pretenders out there that say, we roast our coffee here too. No, you don't. You white label it. These people get their beans from God knows where and they just put a sticker on it. Like, we did it ourselves. No, you did not either. You don't even have the facilities to do it. Unlike Black Rifle Coffee, which is a veteran-owned company and they employ veterans and active duty. And they do a lot for first responders and veteran causes. There's Big Coffee hates them because they're mainstreaming American culture, even down to their bag art. Everything pays an homage to American culture and military history. They have the best roast profiles. They're explosive, ground, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink, whatever you want, they got it. You can join the coffee club, choose your favorite roast, how often you want it sent to you, and it shows up magically on your doorstep with free shipping. Life doesn't get much better than that. So see for yourself at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off with code Dana. That's 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Hospitals are warning of a critical blood shortage and urgent need for donations as a cyber attack wreaked havoc on one blood supply. Are you sure it wasn't vampires? Oh, I was wondering. They said that one blood was urging people to donate blood. It was a ransomware attack that affected their ability to distribute life-saving donations. And it's unclear if it caused any kind of like data leak of personal information or anything like that, but they got a lot of locations across Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas. It's an Orlando-based entity. So, a man died of fear. He died of fear from a freak wasp attack. Oh my gosh. Remind me, Kane, after break to tell you my cicada story. So this Ukrainian man literally had a heart attack after he was chased by wasps on a beach in southern Italy, according to local media. The 47-year-old, he wasn't identified. He was an engineer. He's traveled Europe for work. He was on holiday in Calabria, and apparently he's allergic to bee and wasp stings, and he starts running because he apparently got near, I guess, a wasp nest and some kind of vegetation, and they went crazy, and he was, and they thought it was anaphylactic shock, but it wasn't. He, legit had, he wasn't even stung. He just scared himself to death. Can you imagine? That's, golly, that's horrible. Cops is back. The show. The best show ever. It's back, and it's filming in Pierce County, Washington. Oh, that's so cool. So KRO Channel 7 says that they've allowed them to film them. They're going to, the cops crew is going to ride with the deputy for a couple of days in a row. Decide what to keep, what to air, all of that. And they said that there's not an exchange of money. The department isn't liable for anything that airs. They got, you know, all that stuff. But that's kind of cool. I mean, you really see how much garbage cops have to deal with. That's how I learned. I mean, I learned. I watch cops. Every Friday night? Yeah. Thursday night or Friday night was on. It's like, oh, you hear the opening line from UB40 and you're like, oh, it's cops. And you got to come running in the living room because, you know, you didn't have TiVo back then. You couldn't pause. Was it Inner Circle, not UB40? Inner Circle. Yeah, you heard like the first, you knew it. You're like, whoa, it's cops. And you got to run in and watch it. So, yay. I can't wait I don't have an air day for you. Taco Bell's rolling out an AI drive-thru. Are they going to remember to give me my mild sauce?
Mild?
Yeah. No, if I'm going to do hot sauce, I'm going to do a different hot sauce. I'm going to do Taco Bell's hot sauce. I'm going to do actual hot sauce. But, like, sometimes I just want some seasoning on it, right? So I'll put that mild sauce on it because it has, like, I like the spices in it. I'll have, like, a seasoning. But if I'm going to do hot sauce on it, no, I'm going to do, like, an actual adult hot sauce. We're not going to do none of that packet stuff. Anyway, they got AI drive-through ordering in hundreds of locations by the end of the year. An American woman was found chained to a tree and left to die in the Indian jungle. She'd been there for 40 days. A local shepherd heard her shouts and saved her. She was, like, entirely emaciated. Apparently, her husband. Her husband. Somebody find him and beat him with that chain. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store, and I'll tell you my cicada story. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vance's stick is talking about guns. I guarantee you he can't shoot pheasants like I can. And that's a part of saying, but you know what? I guarantee I don't want weapons of war in classrooms. And there's no reason that you can't have reasonable restrictions around that without infringing on your Second Amendment.
Well, I don't want to shoot pheasants like I can. What? That's
the guy that said yesterday that one man's socialism is another man's neighborliness.
He is a barely sentient turd, isn't he? That's Tim Walz. He's acting like nobody can shoot pheasants like I can. That guy. I can't. I have nothing nice
Did
to say.
Did he say
anymore.
Peasants? Did
pheasants,
he say
yeah.
Peasants?
Pheasant. Yeah, I'm sure he probably meant peasants. Pheasants was just, yeah, a verbal typo from him. Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour. Like, are you going to have a pheasant off? Is that what you're going to do? I don't want weapons of war in the classroom. I don't want weapons of war. What do you mean weapons of war, FUD? What are you talking about? Anybody believes that FUD actually shoots pheasants?
I got an idea.
Yeah.
Let's see who can kill more birds.
I bet I can kill more birds than you. And if I can kill more birds than you, that means I know what weapons of war is. Oh, my gosh. This guy. Tim Walz. I'm not going to stop making fun of him now forever. He's on my radar. Yeah, he's the. What did he say? What did he say yesterday?
Yesterday he said that one man's socialism is another man's neighborliness.
I don't think he knows what socialism means.
Or neighborliness for that
matter. I love how these people can just so go on TV and say words, random words. Don't know what the hell they mean, but words. And no one calls them to account for any of it. So he got mad about, he got mad about J.D. Vance about something with guns. And then he started going off about, well, guess what, FUD? There's no weapons of war in the classroom. By the way, I happened to notice that Tim Walz and other people, they celebrated Independence Day last month, right? July 4th, a holiday brought to you by free people with weapons of war. Because this country was founded and freed with weapons of war. So I just want to be able to own whatever my government gives the Taliban. That's all I'm saying. I just want to be able, I feel like Sally from the Peanuts. I just want what is coming to me. I just want to be able to own the same weapons that they give the cartels. That's all I'm saying. You know. Hey, tell me my cicada story real quick, just as a palate cleanser.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear this.
Okay, so my favorite sound in the world. No, it's not baby's laughter. It's cicadas.
That's your favorite in the world?
Favorite in the world.
Of all sounds that
Of
exist.
All the sounds, it's cicadas.
Wow. Okay.
Because it makes me think of being out, like, rural Missouri in the summer. You know, in the creek, or sorry, Grandma and Grandpa, the creek. It's literally what they said. No idea. But, you know, catching tadpoles and crawdads and, you know, all that stuff and being out in the woods, because I love being outside. And I, you know, being out and riding, you know, my, so I had a mini wheeler ATV. And I say, warsh, say it again, warsh. So I have to check myself sometimes. Three wheelers, you know, W-I-L-L-E-R-S, four wheelers. Sounds weird to say it like that, ATVs. And just being out at dusk and, you know, just fireflies, which I don't see anymore. And just that's what it makes me think of. It makes me think of summer and it makes me think of being in the woods. And it's just, I love it. It's the most relaxing thing. It relaxes me more than like thunderstorms here and that and here in the rain, all that stupid stuff. I don't like seeing them, though. The cicadas, because they're terrifying. No bug should be that big. And they are terrified and terrifying. So normally I just, because you know that all the cicadas are out right now and right in Texas, it's not as bad, like Kane, it's not as bad here as it was in like Missouri and Illinois.
Right. I agree with that.
But we still, and is it, aren't they here a little later than they were in Missouri and that too?
Yeah, just slightly, only because I think it's just a weather thing.
So I've been seeing them. You guys know I got a rescue pup named Wick, right? And he's a pup. He's a little over 4 months old, and he's now going out without his leash, and you know he's used to the yard and all that stuff. And it was like the first morning that we went out without him having a leash. And in the morning when you go out, you know, you're bound to find a couple of these dead cicadas, and they're weird. They're so weird. It looks like a prehistoric trick. It looks like a joke, like somebody put a prop on the ground for you to freak out over, because it doesn't look like a real bug. It's just like, what's the point? You know, like, why are you like this? So anyway, I saw one that was on the ground and I didn't want Wick to get it. So I was going to kick it out of the way, which I did. But that little jackwagon wasn't dead, not Wick, but the cicada. The cicada began screaming. I mean, I can't even be as loud as the cicada was. Not only did it lose its mind and was screaming its head off like some Trans-Tifa activist, but it flew right at my face. And I was freaking out. Wick freaked out. We were all freaking out. And then somehow another one was right there losing its ever-loving mind with its little bug arms, legs, whatever. And freaking out, and flew also at my face. And this is why I don't like things that can hop or fly at my face like that. You know, the bugs and the crickets, I hate crickets. And spiders, because bugs should not be able to jump that high. It's messed up. Everything else I'm okay with. Snakes, I can get, you know, I don't care. But man alive. And I think I saw its eyes. It like was right in my, it was terrifying. And I'm like hitting it and and they're weird and they're just, So anyway, it was like, I don't know, 7-something in the morning, screaming my head off. Sure, my neighbors enjoyed it on a nice Saturday morning, just screaming my ever-loving head off in my backyard. Another day at the Lash Funny Farm, you know, and because these stupid cicadas. And they were so loud, though. I don't know who was louder, the cicada or me. And we made kind of a similar sound. It was really weird. And Wick had no idea what was going on. He was like, I thought this was a toy, and it's not. And he just was terrified of them. But they're so gross. They're so gross. They're like jumbo Cheeto size. Then they scream and they're grody looking. Why do we have them? There's certain things I'm like, why did God put you here? Like mosquitoes. Why? Like flies. What do they do? Cicadas. Why are you here? You're, you know, Green Day. Like why? Yeah. So I don't know. But that's my cicada story.
That last one. I don't know why Green Day's around.
I mean, I like the sound of the cicadas screaming more than I like them, but, you know, yeah. So that's, anyway, that's, maybe Tim Walz can come down here and do some cicada hunting. Yeah. Waving some war in a classroom. Because what is he even on about? Is he, like, trying to run for, is he trying to kiss Kamala Harris's butt so he can be a VP contender? Because he legit looks like Elmer, he looks like Fudd. He looks like Elmer Fudd.
He does.
I mean, Redditors out there, I don't know how you don't put an orange hat on every single thing that is put, everything he puts out. I don't know how he doesn't even have like a transposed orange hat.
Very quiet.
Oh my God. We're all in pheasants with weapons of war. My gosh, this guy is so goofball-y. So I don't know. I am entertained by him greatly. He's but I think he would be he like nobody really heard from him, Tim Walz, and then all of a sudden he's like right there. And there he is, he's me, Tim Walz. Okay, this here's the other thing I wanted to have a quick conversation about as a palate cleanser. This is an actual story at The Economist. Is Kamala Harris Brett? I kid you not. The Economist asks Kane, is Kamala Harris Brett? And I thought, you mean like bratty, a brat? No, 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 folks. We are enjoying a new, somewhat time-honored tradition of just butchering and bastardizing the English language to fit the album of a pop star. Because apparently some pop singer came out. It's not metal and it's not actual punk, so I'm uninterested. And she came out with Brat Summer. Now everything's Brat. So is Kamala Harris Brat? And I keep seeing this over and over again. And I'm thinking, Brat-y? Brat, it's like the people who say conversate is a word. Conversate isn't a word. Converse is a word. Conversing is a word. Conversate is not. My cicada scream. It's not a word. So I feel like the same thing is happening here. Steve, you're familiar with Brat, correct?
I stay familiar with pop culture and music just for my side gigs. But yeah, I think I have a gist on it.
So, I mean, it's the same thing as like Brat the word, right?
No, it derives from Charlie XCX's album called Brat, but a lot of, for what I understand, it's essentially just like a punker way of saying like a girl that can get her stuff done, but also party at the same time, that kind of thing.
Did you just have a stroke?
No, I just cannot make literally enough face. I cannot pull enough
That's
faces.
The best way I can describe it.
So basically, Kane was like, oh, it's like Hot Girl Summer. So it's not a hot girl though. It's like maybe a moderately attractive girl who's a jackwagon. So she's cute. So she's brat.
It's like a Y2K version of like a female yuppie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Why do we got to destroy the English language, though? Why do we have to like make every... Oh, like how people invent words like conversate. Why do... Oh, this is Brat. Why can't you just say, oh, it's Brady? I don't know. I don't care if I sound Sophia Petrillo years old. I really don't care right now. I don't care. I saw this and I'm like, this is at The Economist.
Of all the places, The Economist?
I mean, that's not a place where I expected to see this headline came, but here we are. Like, and then everyone's like, why is inflation so bad? Why can't I afford groceries? Why am I dying of hunger? Like, literally. No, it's because your hunger is Brat. Brat Girl Summer. I hate everything. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's just where... And then it begins with her coconut tree quote. I'm dead. I mean, somebody wrote this honest. Someone, God love them. God love their little hearts. They wrote it honest, Kane. They wrote the story and were like, this seems like a good story.
And am I the only one that sees the word brat and just automatically thinks brat? Like bratwurst? Am I the only one that thinks that?
Like you looked at this as Kamala Harris German hot dog?
Is she brat? Is she brat? Like what is she brat? Is she brat? I don't know.
You might be hungry, my
that's
friend.
How little I care about culture.
Is Kamala Harris German hot dog? Delicious.
German sausage?
I'm Peter Swain.
No?
No.
Okay.
Brats are good. I like that snap skin. Feels like you're snapping a bone.
Gotta be grilled.
Very good. Gotta be grilled. Yeah. No, you can smoke them too.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, that's, yeah. That was at the actual article at The Economist that was written like in this era. So there are some people, by the way, and I saw that it was put up. We got it up on Slack. I'm get on our show account because people are like that Algerian fighter isn't trans. Okay, prove it, because the dude failed gender tests, plural, because there were multiple and another league would not let the dude compete. So I mean, if you're a chick, you shouldn't be failing gender tests to prove that you're a woman. And I don't trust any of you people. I don't trust any of these people. I'm not going to. No.
And those gender tests, by the way, they're not the kind of test you study for.
Yeah, I don't know
it's not
why
like
it's
you
a,
get better at it.
And the next time you get tested,
I'll just study more so I can pass that gender test.
It's not like that.
I don't know, but I'm waiting because Steve just put it up like 30 seconds ago. So I'm just waiting for people to, especially the contrarians on the right. Now, Dana. Now, contrarians. It's just Kate to scream. You know, just going to start doing that anytime. Anytime these any of these fools step up. All right, we got Florida Man on the way. And now I want some bratwurst, dude. No, I mean, gosh, everything is now ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And it just, puns keep coming. Just never going to stop. Literally, ever. We'll never stop. All right, as we move, let's get us to a safe spot. Safe space. The folks over at Kel-Tec, the P-15 is an awesome, awesome pistol. It's absolutely, it's like an all-around. I mean, it's something that you definitely need to have in your collection. Sleek, compact, 15-round capacity, lightweight, and powerful. And then there's the metal frame version. You have the polymer as well, striker fire pistol, textured grips, true classic look and feel. I have both of them. The metal version looks like a James Bond gun. It's awesome. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot reader, keeps you on target. You got the striker fire reliability, great pull, and lifetime warranty as well. This is great, and it's just really ideal for concealed carry self-defense, and it's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It is the P-15 9mm, concealable, dependable, and you've got your firepower, quality made right here in the U.S. of A. So check them out, KeltecWeapons.com. You can learn more there, K-E-L-T-E-C, KeltecWeapons.com. Bring the P-15 to the range today and tell them Dana sent you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I don't know. A Florida woman was arrested for drowning her roommate's pet jumping spider in ginger ale. Oh my gosh. Okaloosa County woman was arrested Monday after she allegedly drowned her roommate's pet spider, according to Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office. 43-year-old Elena Rasmussen admitted that she drowned her roommate's pet jumping spider in ginger ale at their home, and the pet jumping spider cost $70. The owner could not find its spider or the enclosure. She faces misdemeanor animal cruelty and petty theft charges.
A spider's an animal or is it an insect?
I don't know. How are you charged over that? Okay, so, like, what if it's a weird spider and you don't know if it's poisonous and you smush it and it's not someone's pet?
But it's...
Does that mean?
Is there a difference between an animal and an insect? Am I...
Or does the existence of you wanting to make it a pet completely change the equation?
Right.
Because I could retroactively, like, go and get lots of people.
Animal
cruelty? Oh my gosh, you killed this bug. I loved this bug. It was my pet. And like get somebody, you know, I don't know. Right.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just saying, I just have a lot of questions about this. Like, how far does this go? You know what I mean? Like when I'm with you, like, and also, isn't it
an insect? Isn't it?
It's an insect. Right.
Yeah. So now if you smash a bug by accident or kill a bug, you can have animal cruelty charges.
Apparently. Okay. Yeah. This checks out. A Florida man threatens victims if they don't refill his Xanax prescription, according to an affidavit. He's behind bars. He threatened to burn down their home and kill them if they did not give him a refill of Xanax. Marion County, Leandro Seepersad. Leandro Seepersad.
So Mr. and Mrs.?
Mr. and Mrs. Seepersad, son.
Got it.
He's super sad now. He was threatening his mom and his stepdad, with whom he lives, and said he was going to burn their house down and kill them both if they don't give him his mom's Xanax supply. And so they called the police. Deputy arrived. They said they were terrified of him. And so anyway, he was taken into custody. He told his mom to hide my week and keep his money coming. And he said he told his stepfather that they were, quote, finna die while I'm in prison. Yeah, that's literally a direct quote from the affidavit. I'm not making that up. I swear to you. A Florida man spent 6 hours in a swamp trying to avoid arrest. He was more scared of the cops than he was the gators. Not even kidding. 6 hours in a swamp. Oh, they got him. Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office got him, 34-year-old Taureen Wright, on an outstanding warrant. 6 hours swimming and hiding in the mangroves. I cannot believe he did not get gobbled up by a gator. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
The other piece of it, April, is the idea of this guy at 78 years old, nearly 80 years old, still not understanding that in America, if you are black plus anything else, you are black. That is not a rule black people created. It is a rule that Thomas Jefferson and other white founders created because they believe that even having one drop of black blood made you black. So by the rules of the people he reveres,
like a conversation,
anybody who's partially black, whether it's Bob Marley, Barack Obama,
or
Kamala Harris,
only
is black.
Do.
And she's always
she
identified
has,
as black.
Whatever, I can't remember what her name is. Karen, I can't remember what her name is. But the only commentary that she offers is that all the time it's only race stuff, only ever. And honestly, I need everybody to stop, just move past it, because her record is so bad. You don't need to bring up DEI stuff. And I get that. I don't know. I go back and forth because I think that unless you can flip the script and use the fact that she's like a ladder climber. She's a social climber. Kamala Harris, and use that as a basis to springboard and be like, look, this is what Biden said. This is how Biden, you know, defined her and her job. Remember when he was talking about the, I know what a black job is, the vice president. Everyone cheered and we're like, what? He was the one who came up with all of this. So you can't, you know, retroactively get to say that's, you know, that's bad now, except when I did it, you know, you guys can't quote me. It's bad. But it has to be used as a springboard to highlight the fact that she has no merit. And it's something DEI was great when progressives wanted it. But now that they're faced with having to argue over a record that is non-existent and merit that isn't there, now it's inconvenient for them. And that needs to be brought up. That's what needs to be hammered. If we're going to bring up DEI, you got to bring up the other half of it. So welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. So the other story that no one seems to be talking about, and I know that, you know, it's been wall-to-wall hostage, the hostage transfer, the journalist that works for the Fox parent company, and then the preacher. And then there was another reporter, Serbian reporter. I'm curious as to who all is going to be switched out for this, who the trade is going to be, because there's been the Wall Street Journal had a piece and they were trying to say this is a very, you know, it's a really good thing, but, you know, there's an assassin that it looks like, you know, that Putin really wanted back, Vadim Krasikov. He's a Russian hitman and former intel officer convicted of murdering a dude, like at broad daylight, apparently in a Berlin park. And he told a guard in the prison where he was serving a life sentence in Germany, quote, "The Russian Federation is not going to leave me to rot in jail." Now, on Thursday, he was released by German authorities and handed over to Russia as part of this prisoner swap. So that already happened. So he was one of the guys, apparently, that was exchanged, one of. So the Kremlin will hunt down any enemies that it has. And now they gave him his hitman back. Holy cow. Wall Street Journal has a huge piece on the dark figure at the center of Putin's prisoner swap demands. And it shows that he's not going to leave the people who do his dirty work behind. There are four Russians in American custody. And that's, people were wondering, well, you're not going to have just like basic Russian assets released in exchange for these, a couple of Americans and, you know, some of the other journalists as well. But this guy, Putin, apparently this is, back during the Brittany Griner thing, Putin was demanding this guy's release. And he refused any other formulation for Whalen, the other individual, the other American they had in custody. Apparently, Krasikov's name came up repeatedly around the Griner negotiations. And then again in 2022, when Putin was looking to cut a deal on behalf of the Whalen. So that's not even, that's not even remotely in the same world. I mean, Waylon was not an asset, not an intel asset. This is wild. So we have this, and then you have the KSM thing, which I honestly think this prisoner swap was probably distraction for some of this. The Office of Military Commissions announcing that the plea deal with the 9/11 mastermind and his two terrorist toadies, and they all pled guilty. They all pled guilty to it. So I don't know. But to me, you knew that Putin wasn't going to just like do a trade for some basic Russians. He was going to hold out for like some of the top. That's the whole point of it. He was going to hold out for some of the top, and he's got his hitman back. Isn't that nice? This is the same administration that always complains about Russia, Russia, Russia. And then, of course, Biden, don't forget, Biden was asked at the press conference, you know, why didn't you do it earlier? And he had the audacity to turn around and say, well, why didn't Trump do it? Because the Evan Gershkowitz guy wasn't even taken into custody when Trump was president. That was March of last year. He apparently was completely unaware of this. Just wild. So on top of all of this, now we have this story about these Jordanians. Did you hear about this? And I have this on the rundown, I believe. Yeah. So on top of this, New York Post has the story of these Jordanian illegal immigrants. They had already come into the country illegally. They were trying to breach the Marine Corps base, Quantico. This was back in May. According to, and this is, there's Marine Corps Times and New York Post, they said that the two people whom the Marine Corps prevented from breaking into the installation were Jordanian nationals, according to U.S. Customs. 32-year-old Hassan Youssef Hamdan and 28-year-old Mohammed Khair Dabous were released from ICE detention despite their illegal status after they illegally crossed into the country in April. And then that's Hamdan. Hamdan entered illegally, and Dabous was here illegally because he overstayed his student visa and the apparently was subject to, but I don't think it started, removal proceedings. So they were arrested on May 3rd because they had trespassed onto the Marine Corps base, Quantico, and then they were handed over to ICE officers because they were in the country illegally. Nobody's been told why they've tried to get into the base. Where's the border czar at, by the way? So immediately, was it a dry run? Are they Taliban? Are they a terrorist group? Is it ISIS? Like, what is it? And how did they even get here in the first place? So one of the subcommittees within Congress, they said Homeland Republicans probed DHS, FBI, Department of Defense on attempted breach of Marine Corps base. They were saying that they were subsequently detained, turned over to ICE. Reporting suggests that apparently one occupant was a Jordanian foreign national who crossed the southwest border. The other occupant is on a federal terrorist watch list. So, terrorists. So, one guy literally wandered in, like, one guy crossed into the country illegally, who, yes, was on the terror watch list. And the other guy overstayed his visa because he knew you can overstay your visa. This is the Biden-Harris administration. Nobody's going to do nothing. So what was the intent? I don't believe, you can't tell me that it wasn't an attempt at some sort of terrorist activity. One of the guys is on the federal terrorist watch list. So their bond was set, I think it's low, $15,000 for Hamdan, $10,000 for Dabous, and they were released. And we're only just now finding out about it. Joe Tatus released them last month.
Who?
Joe Tatus.
Got it.
Released them last month. And they're supposed to stay away from Quantico and other military bases, which I'm totally sure they're going to do. And if you're wondering where the one guy entered illegally from, that was San Diego. And you know why he was released? Because he was taken into custody. The guy who is on the terror watch list, do you know why he was released?
Because California doesn't cooperate with ICE?
And they didn't have anywhere to put him. Put him back across the border. Put him in the damn ocean for all I care. I don't care. He's entering illegally and he's on the damn terror watch list. What in the world? The other guy overstayed his student visa, so he was here illegally. So they were supposed to appear in federal court on July 22nd. The judge, per New York Post, signed off on the release. So long as they show up for future court dates, which I'm sure they're going to, just like the one guy, you know, he did everything he was supposed to, even though he was in the country illegally, right? So you have two Jordanian nationals that lied to people about their status. And apparently they also said that they were there. They falsely claimed that when they approached Quantico, that they were there for Amazon. They lied and said they were with an Amazon subcontractor and they were there to make a delivery. They weren't with Amazon. So immediately, because of the lying, I'm expecting ill intent. I'm expecting terrorist activity because one of them's on the federal terrorist watch list. Now, Glenn Youngkin, the governor, demanded that the Biden administration give a briefing on what happened. He's like, I need to understand some more. Apparently that hasn't happened. It took 2 weeks for them to alert the personnel for the brass at Quantico to even alert rank and file of the breach per New York Post. And it was also reported in the Potomac Local News. In fact, Matt Strickland, who first flagged the incident, said, quote, after I raised the alarm, I had people who work at Quantico messaging me saying, holy redacted, when did this happen? And he said, 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, Quantico finally put out an email to employees on base letting them know, he said. He said the attempted entry was reported immediately to required military officials. And he said, in any case, determined to be an immediate threat to the base or its population. He's like, that. I agree. How in the world is this? It's like they want us to be attacked. How are you not? Do you not see the issue here that the borders are Kamala Harris has created? This is crazy. I mean, they're actual terrorists.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I can always tell when Kane is very mad at a particular news story because he does stuff like this, like, yeah, on like next to the headline. So the headline is, do ultra-processed foods harm your brain? There? Uh-huh. Yeah, they do. Yeah, it's not great. It's not great for you. And also, you know what? Eating bug protein is nasty. Give me a juicy cow. Slap its ass, walk it by the fire. That's what you do. There you go. Don't get mad at me for my Portuguese. I apologize. I'm trying to be new year, new me, even though I don't ever do that. Let's see. Forgetting to cut sugar. New tech is making it healthier instead. Wait, healthier sugar? Yeah. This is what they do. I don't believe this. It's new tech. This sounds disgusting. And where are the enzymes from? Kane? It says they're experimenting with enzymes that turn sugar to fiber. Microscopic sponges to soak up sugar and more. Where are these enzymes from?
That's a good question.
Tell me.
I don't know where they're from. Did they say in the article? Because
no,
I didn't read it.
It doesn't, which makes me...
Yeah, sus.
It's sus, bro. It's sus, bro. I don't know. I don't trust any of this stuff. I don't... let's see. Gruesome news. Some aggressive homeless camps. Homeless camp sweeps begin in San Francisco where they don't want your tired, poor, and hungry masses. They don't. So they call them aggressive. They're going out there and just cleaning up everybody's stuff on the street because I guess Newsom's tired of getting made fun of for all the needles and feces everywhere. I mean, it really is.
It's like garbage trucks moving in and hauling the stuff out. And
maybe they're like moving people, Kane, to like the Newsom mansion and, you know, like giving him dinner at French Laundry and stuff.
Huh. Okay.
Because, you know, they love the poor and that, right?
Oh, yeah, they love them.
Yeah, sure. This is a magical uninhabited island once visited by Vikings. It is for sale for six figures, a low six figures for an island. It's a British newspaper that reports it. And the island, they say that it's off the coast of Skye up in Scotland. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this island name. Flat of Twain? I don't know. That's not right. Don't come at me. It's not. It's a whole island. It's a whole A Double Snakes Island. And you can live on there and not be by anyone. And that actually sounds a little bit like heaven. It translates to flat island on the ocean. Do I get goats and stuff?
Yeah, why
Why not? Is there like a, I mean, it's 69, almost 70 acres.
Practically your own country.
Yeah. It could be. You know, that I love the little micro countries that pop up that people like proclaim. That sounds kind of interesting. It's being sold by Goldcrest Land and Forestry Group. It has no human residence, but it does have seals and dolphins, porpoises, whales, and basking sharks. There's no dwellings on the island, apparently, and it doesn't look like it's plumbed or anything like that. But who cares? You're away from everyone, and that's what counts. We have the McGroins back as well. Hello, guys, that are in Rumble. All right, we have more on the way, including, but not limited to, the Bread and Circuses 2024. We've got that. The Veep Steaks. So much more. Stick with us.
The Dana Show Podcast. Your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a follow-up on the 9/11 plea deal, if I may. Does the president still plan to close Guantanamo Bay Prison before he leaves office? And is there a realistic pathway to do that in the next 6 months?
That's still something that the president wants to do and get done. As far as a timeline, don't have anything for you here, but obviously this is something that he wanted to be done under his administration. Just don't have anything else to read out or preview at this time, but it is something that he's determined to get done.
Yeah, so he wanted to empty out Gitmo, yeah. He wanted to empty out Gitmo. Look at that. All right, well, I mean, he's got this prisoner exchange going, and he's got, you know, he's doing all kinds of stuff. He's totally going to pardon Hunter, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know that's going to happen. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you at the bottom of this third hour. And we've been talking a little bit about this. The Jordanian illegal immigrants, we were talking about that. Those guys, nobody in the press is interested in that. Those guys were just released to walk, those terrorists out in last month. Yeah. Terrorists just out there in the country illegally. But, you know, can't do anything about it. You know, Biden and Harris can't do anything about it, guys. Just, you know, them's the breaks, them's the rules, right? Unreal. And then, of course, now we're learning what we are getting for this prisoner swap thing. I mean, at least it's not like a basketball player who, you know, would criticize the anthem and all that other stuff. I mean, at least it's not that. I don't know. But we know that Putin got one of his top hitmen back, so got one of his assassins back. Isn't that nice?
But it does. It spits in the face of these families that lost loved ones in 9/11. It completely spits in their face. And
well, that's separate from, I mean, this right, is what was from the prisoner deal. But the capitulation on 9/11 with allowing them to have a plea deal. And
exactly.
And then dumping out, you know, these dudes in Gitmo. I mean, good night. Why are they even alive? Why are they alive? Why haven't they been tarred and feathered and dragged through the streets? I mean, they should be crusty old.
But that's exactly what our media.
Like years ago.
That's exactly what our media should be doing right now. Asking those questions. Pretty violently, they should be asking these type of questions, and they're not.
They're uninterested. I mean, how far have we fallen from that? Good heavens, 9/11, and you know, here it is, 2001 to 2024, and they're doing a plea deal and taking the death penalty off the table for the terror attack from 9/11. I mean, there are people who grew up without parents and people who got serious health issues from having to comb through the rubble for body parts and survivors. Terrific. And this is the way that you, this is the way you bring about justice. As I said before, this isn't justice. This is, it's a betrayal of America. And it's also, you know, terrorism thrives on the indulgence of these morons. It really does. I mean, it is 2,976 people. I mean, they were charged with murdering that many people. Family members were saying that it was a gut punch. The government's failed us. The government will always fail you. One man, Daniel Diallara, his twin brother was killed. One of the 23 NYPD officers killed that day. The widower of Moira Smith, the only female police officer killed in the attacks, her husband is widowed husband was a retired police officer himself, said he felt like he'd been just kicked. Just, you know, and we're Republicans, I'm sorry, but I need a little bit more than just raging on this. What is the point of making a plea deal with terrorists? there was so much evidence showing not just a participation in this, but evidence in they were planning it. They were paying people to do certain things and orchestrating every single bit of it. I don't even think they should have gotten a trial, frankly. Oh, I know, Dana. We live in a republic. And, you know, we have law and order, not for people who are not citizens. Not for terrorists. Geneva doesn't apply to terrorists. Why pretend otherwise? You know, Gitmo, like I said, there's no people, not really a lot of prying eyes down in Gitmo. Anything could have happened. They could have slipped and fallen and hit their head a bunch of times. You know, that could have happened. They could have accidentally fallen into a shark's mouth, came.
Those are understandable accidents.
Yeah, there's a lot of sharks around there, I've heard. Like the big ones that eat people.
Life is rough in those areas.
You are correct. Or what if they had gotten sucked up by a tropical storm or winds from a hurricane and beaten around a whole bunch on the rocks around there?
Not uncommon.
I mean, those things can happen. I'm just saying. I don't know why. I don't even know why they're still alive. It's 2024 and these people are still alive. These terrorists down there, we've been feeding them three hots in a cot. This whole time. At play this, because the New York City Firefighters Union put out a statement. KJP was asked about this. Oh, my gosh. Blood boiling. Listen.
Thank you, Crane. Just hoping for a response to the 9/11 plea deal that spared the architects the death penalty. The New York City Firefighters Union put out a statement. It said, we are disgusted and disappointed that these three terrorists were given a plea deal and allowed to escape the ultimate justice while each month three more heroes from the FDNY are dying from World Trade Center illnesses. Does the administration have a message for them?
Look, our hearts go out. I mean, not much more than I can add to what you heard from the National Security Advisor and how I just answered the question to one of your colleagues. And I'll just reiterate, obviously, our hearts go out to the families who lost a loved one. We didn't have a role in this. Not something that we were involved in.
We didn't have a role in this. A role in what? You absolutely did. We didn't have a role in this. You know, he's not president. I mean, he is president. I mean, yeah, clearly he's not. Didn't have a role in this. I mean, wow. I'm telling you what, they should have been executed years ago. And they're still here. But hey, this should be tied to their front runner. Their maybe nominee. It's not official yet. Maybe they should, you know, this is something that should be brought up. This is part of her record. She has no foreign policy chops at all. She is the most unaccomplished candidate for president ever that has gotten this far, even less accomplished than Barack Obama. Barack Obama, well, I don't know, maybe about as much. No foreign policy skill or expertise or none of it. She was a figurehead. It's all she was. She was a box check. She was uniquely unqualified. She ran in last place during the primary, barely scratching 1%, trailing Pete Buttigieg. She was never popular with her own side. Now they're all gaslighting themselves into thinking that she's just the next best thing. They will fake it to make it. They will believe it to win it. And you're starting to see some of that. That's why I'm telling you, November is not guaranteed. This is not a done deal. It is not over. None of it is. And you can tell people, you're not going to convince people. And like I've said, all of this stuff is decided. It's all determined in the margins. And you can tell people that she's a Marxist, but you need to show and talk about her disastrous policies more. I mean, you would think, but it's just wild that she's even gotten this far. I mean, and the media is going to try to chip away J.D. Vance. And they're going to go, they keep trying to sow division in the Republican side of things. I saw a piece that came out today said Kellyanne Conway has started a whisper campaign against J.D. Vance. I wouldn't believe any of that. I don't agree with her on everything, but she's not a stupid woman. She's not going to do anything like that where anyone's going to hear her and where anyone could find fingerprints of hers on it. I just, that that's, I also think that there was a lot of back and forth before. They had a lot of time, and you know, before they made this announcement, it was going right up until the convention. There was a lot of time before they made this announcement. So I think that they were anticipating pretty much every single type of attack. And the best that Democrats have is calling him weird, because he noted that there was Diet Mountain Dew on a table at a Senate fundraising event. So stupid. That's all they have is that. In the meantime, look at Kamala Harris. She's to the left of Joe Biden on a number of issues. Not to say that Joe Biden's not, you know, completely Marxist, but Kamala Harris is even more so. But there's be wary of a lot of the polling that you see. But I will say this, with a lot of it out there, A, it shouldn't be this close, but B, it's this close because you have the media that is operating as a de facto PR agency for Harris. And when you realize, again, that elections are determined in the margins, it's not necessarily the base, it's the people that are on the periphery. Those people who come in, those are the ones ultimately that swing the vote either way. And that all factors into this. So that's, you know, so we got to consider that. And that's why I say you have to keep focusing on her policies. And a lot of these polls, you know, they get some of the more hardcore base. And we've talked about how polling can be so unrepresentative because you're immediately biasing your pool. If it's a landline, because nobody has landlines anymore. I don't have a landline. I don't even have a thing in my house that you put a landline in. I don't think, Kane. Do you have, I don't even, what are they, jacks or whatever? I don't even know what they're called anymore. I don't know.
Used to be the old DSL connectors.
Yeah, remember you just,
yep.
Yeah. Those are the days. I don't even know if I have one of those. I don't think we have one. I've not seen a phone on the wall in someone's house. And how many of you out there?
I think you probably have the wiring somewhere in the walls still, but maybe the plates or
this
something.
House is, the house that we live in is not that old.
No, it isn't, but it should still have a landline type.
I can't tell you the last time I had a landline.
That was early aughts for me.
Yeah, I had lived home with, I lived home.
It was 2000.
I lived with my parental unit.
I want to say 2008. 2009 was the last time I had it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was running internet out of my home through DSL. And
I had DSL, but we didn't have a phone with it.
But that was how you connected to DSL.
I just never used the phone.
Was through the phone line, right. But
I loved not talking to people then. And I would be like, I don't want to use, I didn't hang my phone. And I didn't really use my cell phone as much. And that was pre-iPhone. So I'm like, I had the Palm Pre, which was the best phone out there until they ruined it. It was ruined by HP, ruined it. That was the best. That was the best phone. The Palm Pre did everything before Apple did.
That iOS ended up being Apple's?
iOS copied it. Yeah. They totally ripped it off. That was the best phone. I will beat someone upside the head with my old dead one. It was an amazing phone. And it had like a physical keyboard. It would slide. Oh my gosh. It was the best phone ever. And it was so sad. Anyway. So where was I? Oh yeah. You're the biased pool because nobody has phones on the wall anymore. So be careful, but realize that it is still way too close and that the goal is to get those people in the margins out. That's why I think, especially as it concerns this DEI stuff, it all needs to come back to, you mean the way that Biden described? Because you want to eliminate that as a shield. It's not that you're trying to defeat it, because I really don't even think the left believe that there are attacks on this. But there's one thing that people hate. They hate social climbers, and it doesn't matter which side of the political aisle you're on. And if you portray her as a meritless, you know, unaccomplished social climber, that is actually more dangerous than anything else. And it's accurate. I mean, how many things has she been put in charge of? And she hasn't accomplished a single thing on any of it, the biggest of which is the border. So I highlighting all of that, you just say, well, the way that Biden described her in his speech, when he literally spelled out DEI and then said it starts with the vice presidency, and that was his, you know, DEI pick, and the transcript of which is still available at the White House website. You mean the way that Biden did? What does this have to do with Republicans? So wait, is DEI bad now? Because the president was saying this was a good thing, and the left and all of its, you know, toadies in the media celebrated it as a good thing. So is it bad now? Have you guys all changed your mind about DEI and Marxist racial warfare? Is that what you guys are giving up on? Or are you trying to have it both ways here? The point is that she has no merit. The point is that she has no record of accomplishments. That's the real point. Republicans have got to start learning how to quickly turn the page on that, pivot off of it, and destroy it. Because what they're admitting, as Kane notes, and what Biden already admitted, is that none of this is based in merit. And they squirm when you make them own their own words. And that's what Republicans, that's what Trump needs to do. And that's what Republicans need to do. It can't just stick on DEI. You got to move and use it as the platform to highlight. That's what Biden said. So you guys thought it was a great thing. This was better than merit. So are you saying you disagree with that now? And then go right to her record and don't even give him time to catch a breath.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast. Your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
His claims on that subject are also false. You know, he said that Vice President Harris has only turned black a couple years ago, and before that, she was only promoting her Indian heritage. That is just not true. I've quickly, just via Google.
I know they want to stay on that, but the bigger thing than talking about the DEI is hitting flashback like this. Audio soundbite 14. This is crazier. Listen.
So I will say what I know we all say, and I will say over and over again. The United States stands firmly with the Ukrainian people in defense of the NATO alliance.
Ukraine is not part of NATO. No. Does she know that?
No.
I mean, apparently not. Apparently not. Apparently she's unaware of that. In the meantime, you know, the president, I noticed, he tweeted out, "I will not stop working until every American wrongfully detained or held hostage around the world is reunited with their family." I guess the same doesn't go for Dexter Taylor, does it? Yeah, remember him? Dexter Taylor on ridiculous charges, innocent man, but he had a gun and he was a black man with a gun. That's all. Oh, left hates that even more. Today in stupidity came.
All right.
It is our famed president, our current president, not Kamala, Biden. Let's hear what he has to say. He's got some advice. Listen to this.
Countries, these so-called abductor states, from simply taking more Americans in order to get more of their prisoners home. How do you end
Great
these
question.
Perverse incentives, sir?
Or advising people not to go certain places.
Oh, well, there it is. That fixes it. That's how we stop these crazy, crazy countries from taking people.
Yeah, just, that's it. That's just, there
that's
you
how
go.
We do it.
That, just stop people. Just that easy, folks. Tomorrow's
strength.
Friday. We made it through the week. We'll get you set up for the weekend tomorrow as well. Make sure you like us. Find us Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe. Substack, Chapter and Verse. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.